change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
It is October 23rd, 2024. It's a late one. It's late. Keezer, are you with me right now? You there?
Oh, Brad, I'm so here. I'm so here. There, I couldn't think of a better time in the world to be an Indiana football fan. I just like it. Kurt Cignetti, man. I just like enjoy listening to the guy speak. Like I was doing planks last night, listening to his press conference.
You're a maniac.
He's just so reassuring. Like he has a plan. He's like, if there was a different way to win, then we'd be doing it a long time ago. It's just reassuring to have that guy in just like around.
I mean, if you're not bothered now, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't.
No, but yeah, it's a big week. It's a big week. We just whooped the shit out of Nebraska, kicked the shit out of them. That was awesome. Nebraska didn't belong on the football field with Indiana, and we like kind of it's launched the Hoosiers into that stratosphere where we thought they belonged 2, 3 weeks ago.
2 or 3 weeks ago? I'd say it's longer. I'd say we've been kind of on this
Well,
for a
no,
little
I
bit.
mean, once the, well, yeah, no, but once they beat the hell out of UCLA the way they did, it's like, okay, like maybe this isn't like a top 20 team, maybe this is more like a top 5 team.
Yeah.
Like this is
I'd have to agree.
this is currently the number one offense in the country.
Yeah, that thumping at UCLA definitely sent a message like, I don't care how bad UCLA is. That was an absolute thumping. And those aren't like an untalented team over there in Westwood. It's yeah, and now we got another West Coast team coming our way, come to town. Hopefully
Yeah, they're about to get put.
that fraudulent, travel narrative that people keep putting out there comes to fruition. Hopefully.
No, it's not a fraudulent travel narrative. That's why the Indiana win at UCLA, where they look so dominant, was so impressive because every single other team that has traveled across the country has looked like shit. And that's not to say some of them haven't won. Like Penn State won. Penn State looked pretty decent doing it. But like most of the teams that are doing those like long ranges of travel have struggled. Like this 9 a.m. local kick time for Indiana is like a huge advantage. Huge advantage. We got some smoke to get to though.
Yeah, with that being one last thing in the narrative, I'm pretty sure favorites are above 500 against the spread in those games. I don't know if there's a way to stat correct that. I haven't seen anything on Twitter about it. But yeah, let's hop into some smoke.
Yeah, obviously game day's coming. Pat McAfee can't stop talking about the Indiana Hoosiers. He went for 7.5 minutes again today on the Pat McAfee show. I retweeted the clip off the podcast account. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But I mean, he's like, as somebody, and I'm talking about McAfee, who lives in Indiana and has the pulse of sports fans the way he does. It's like, shit, man. The way he talks about Cignetti and the grip he has on Indiana, it's like, yeah, man. He's not going anywhere.
One of my favorite little snippets that he said was the part about ever since Indiana got Peyton Manning, they've been kind of craving for, the Hoosiers to have a good football team, which is something that I said in our first ever episode here
I
on
was about to
Sixth
say, yeah,
Side.
we echoed that same sentiment, what, 4 months ago?
Yeah, it's a football fan base over here in Indiana. Like they know ball, they know good ball, they love good ball, they just want to see it. It just hasn't been an idea that has been floated around this program until 2020, and
Pretty
now, and then
recently.
they actually put financial backing behind it in 2024, which is about 120 years plus after they launched their football program. So, what better time than now when they expand it to 12? What better time?
Yeah. No, literally. And you have, like, we talked about it ad nauseum. Like, you had to put the product in front of people and show them a little bit of consistency before you got full buy-in. But as we both know, because we are Hoosiers, that it's not that hard to get the rest of the fan base to figure it out and to jump on board once they see it enough. Like, these are sports fans at their core. Like, and as much bias and whatever you want to put into it, like, at the end of the day, you can put everything else aside and just look at this football team. Like, this is a good fucking football team.
Yeah, when you talk about the Indiana fan base, I mean, just look at how crazy those Pacers playoff games get when they're good. I mean, they sell out Fever games. These guys, this state is sports crazed. And that was
100%. Racing, like any type of athletic activity that you could do, like Indiana wants to be there.
100%, yeah. And they have no problem packing out stadiums as long as that team's good. And or at least the team has, I'm not going to, you know, say, a good football program is able to sell out games.
I think you can leave it at
whether
that.
They're undefeated or not. I think moving forward, the idea that we can win every game moving forward, I think is going to keep the sellout streak alive.
Well, 100%. Well, there you can't get a ticket anymore. The rest of the season is sold out for The Rock. That is part of the smoke. That came out this week from, I think, Hoosier Connect posted it. I'm not entirely sure.
The Indiana football account posted it.
Oh, probably. Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, you can't get a ticket anymore. So that's pretty damn cool. Sold out for the rest of the season. So if you want to go see the Hoosiers, you're going to have to scalp one or
go to Sluggers.
Go to SeatGeek or whatever. Yeah, go to Sluggers. Oh my God, bro. I called Sluggers Swingers by accident once because I hadn't been there in a while. And like, I was like, you know, go up to the batting cage. So easy switch, right? Yeah. But it was like, yeah, I was explaining it to somebody and there was like other people around there. I'm like, oh, that's the name of the bar? Like, whoa. And I was like, hey, come on now. Come on. There's a batting cage. There's a batting cage.
There are swingers there. There are. Yeah. They're swinging bats.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I say. You swing the bat. Jeez. Anyway, they have a game day location. It's going to be on the South Lawn Memorial Stadium. I'm pretty sure that's the exact same location where Fox was set up, if I'm not mistaken. But I saw that they're going to use significantly more space.
Yeah, because they're going to have a huge crowd there. It's going to be bananas. It's going to be massive. It's going to be absolutely spastic.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be damn fun. And there's a lot of, like, people are going. And the people, the Indiana fans on Twitter posting, like, the recruit, like, I'm coming to Bloomington gifts, but, like, with their Twitter profile pictures, so fucking funny. So funny. I love it. I love everyone.
Yeah, it's like every Indiana football game now is just a second homecoming. Like, homecoming doesn't even, you can go to, like, Bloomington any weekend now. So you have a winning, that's what happens when you have a winning football team.
Yep. There's so many recruits in town this weekend. Matt Marek, who's one of the kids in the class of 2025 offensive line, he's going to be in town. Kentrell Webb, a 2026 four-star defensive line target, or outside linebacker, one of those two. He's going to be in town too, on top of, like, I don't know, another 20 or 30 guys. Like, it's going to be, they're going to be sold out again. And people are going to keep posting that they're coming during, like, as the week moves on. We'll repost off the account as we see people. If we miss anybody, let us know for sure. But, yeah, it's fucking exciting. Like, there's so much excitement around the program. And some Indiana fan is going to get a chance to kick for another $100,000 of Pat McAfee's dollars.
Yeah, and to show your excitement, Indiana Edits dropped 11 new IU gifts for Twitter, so.
Yeah, that was baller. Shout out to Indiana Edits.
To show your excitement every time a, you know, recruit, you know, posts something, anything, doesn't even have to be Indiana related, drop those gifts underneath their post. It's going to go a long way.
Yeah.
And recruits, yeah, keep hitting us up, recruits, on Twitter, for sure. Like, keep, you know.
Fuck yeah.
We'll keep shouting you out. And yeah, keep showing love on Twitter. We love it.
Yeah, shout out to Indiana Edits. We needed new gifts. All the gifts are like from the Tom Allen era, which like, listen, we've talked enough about what that era of Indiana football was and how it went. But like, there's still great moments there. It's like, that being said, there's like nothing from that team really that is like, everyone who's stuck around from that era is now full blown like new Indiana. I don't care if you were there last year or not. Like, this is you. Everyone in the building is Indiana football, but this is Kurt Cignetti's Indiana football. Like, there are no more Tom Allen's guys or like previous staff's guys. Like, those guys are, you know, there's things are starting to happen, and you know, guys are leaving the program and things like that. But it's like, if you're here, you're bought in.
Yeah, 100%. And like, with, I think you're alluding to EJ Williams here. Like, I think we're going to talk about that in the smoke, but honestly, like, it's a very similar to the McCulley situation.
No, actually,
like,
I really was going to wrap this back around to the gifts. Like, I just think we needed new gifts, new energy. That was really it. I don't have a problem with any of the guys transferring out.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, it's a loaded receiver room, you know, got to, you know, save that eligibility by, you know, hitting the portal. Can those guys come back to Indiana in theory? Potentially. I can't imagine that's against the rules.
No, listen, you got, yeah, it's 7 weeks of the season plus the entire offseason. It's like, if you're going to transfer at this point, it's like, it's just, you're like, it wasn't a fit. And it's okay.
I mean,
like,
they're
looking for something they weren't being offered.
They weren't playing.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, EJ Williams was getting a little burned, but it's like, they rotate those receivers. Guys get hurt, you never know what happens. Like, he would have had an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
We
are down to seven scholarship,
like,
receivers.
Yeah, I'm never gonna, like, I will never fault a guy for doing what he believes is best for himself. You know what I mean? Like, that's a, like, you gotta, yeah, protect you out there.
We're a pro player pod.
100%. I'm a EJ Williams guy. I love EJ Williams. I hope that guy goes somewhere and, like, fucking kills it.
He thrives. Yeah.
It's like, that dude did everything he could to try and get on the field in Indiana. Like, that dude dealt with so many injuries. And when he played really well. It's like, that dude gave a shit and he tried. It's like, what more can you ask for?
Nothing. You can't.
But yeah, new gifts. We fucking needed them, because every time I would type in, like, an Indiana thing, and it would just be like, God damn, like, can we just get something new? And it's like, yeah, I guess I could have went and created them. But, like, Indiana Edits went and did that.
I have no idea how to make GIFs, so I'm glad he went.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably Google, like, how to make GIFs. You know what I mean?
Sure. I'm sure. We're busy, guys. We have to record this thing at, like, midnight. to fit into our tight schedules. Like, I can't be making GIFs. I got to talk to, you know... You gotta talk to Mr. CEO
exactly.
On Zoom tomorrow, so I gotta, you know, prepare for other things, and you know, I always make time for this. There's no other team that deserves my time more than this team in my life right now. And that's coming from a guy who has his team in the World Series.
Yeah, and I would echo that sentiment as a Celtics fan who just watched a championship.
Fuck the Celtics.
Like,
those who
I
don't know,
fucking love this Indiana football team, but this is like by far the best sports team in my life right now. It's not even close.
Oh yeah, this is by far the most exciting and most interesting sports team I've had a part of my entire sports fandom. So I'm just enjoying the ride.
Speaking of mixing the Tom Allen era with the current Indiana football, I'm so excited for you to hear this quote for the first time. I'm not even going to preface it with anything. I'm just going to read the quote. Here's the quote from Michael Penix Jr. They asked him Sunday after his NFL debut who he picked in Saturday's Penix Bowl. He said, quote, "I definitely want the Dub to win," talking about University of Washington. "At the same time, I am an alum from Indiana, so there's no bad blood, but I want the Dub to win." It's like, ah. It's like, begrudgingly, that makes Michael Penix Jr. daunted, which sucks because I love Michael Penix Jr. It doesn't change the fact that I love Michael Penix Jr. But he picked his side. You know? Like,
he has zero ties to the school at this point, besides, you know, literally suiting up for the Cream and Crimson.
No, it's more than fair. I think
his boy Kadick is still there.
Yeah, I forget who tweeted this, but like there's a good chance like he was literally drafted last year. Like he knows a lot of the personnel left. But there's like he knows people at the university still, obviously. And Indiana, it's been what, 3-4 years, and it wasn't really the happiest ending here. Like, yeah, people like to remember the Penix years fondly because of how well he played when he was healthy, but like that dude took an ungodly amount of hate from Indiana fans in 2019. Like, he played hurt and he wasn't great. And like that relationship ended pretty poorly. Like, it wasn't like, oh shit, Michael Penix Jr. is transferring. It was like, yeah, you know what? That kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't think Mike remembers his IU days as fondly as we remember his IU days.
There's no way. Because we
remember the winning. We remember, you know, the reach against Penn State. He remembers multiple knee surgeries, multiple shoulder surgeries. That's what he remembers from Indiana.
And fan base hate.
Yeah, with Washington, he just remembers going to the playoff and making a run at the national title. Yes, and like, becoming the third all-time leading passer for the in school Heisman. History. And throwing to Rome Odunze and Jalen Polk and all those guys over there at Washington. So
McMillan.
It's clear that he has a preference in terms of where his best college days were, which was Washington. That's the reality of it. And I know it hurts for Indiana fans to hear, but that's what it is. And we'll always love Mike. Always. Always going to, you know, when he starts for the Falcons next year, it's going to be fantastic to watch his career progress. So excited for him. He went 1-for-1 for 14 yards in his debut. Didn't even need to pull that stat. I already knew it off the top of my head.
Yeah, but no shout out this week because he picked his side. So we'll congratulate him next week.
Yeah, I guess we're anti Michael Penix this week.
He's just daunted. That's all that means. It's fine. Like, it hurts, but he's daunted. Like, it is what it is. And we'll get to next week. This weekend, Brad, it's a red out.
Crimson out.
So if you're the Indiana football account literally tweeted red out.
I know.
Yes, it's a crimson out. No, you're right. You are right. It should say crimson out. But then people would be like, oh, I didn't know what color crimson was. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta dumb it down for people. So I get what the admin did there. Is I thought, honestly, probably
you gotta good call. Dumb it down for those particular Indiana fans that like to post political content in the comment section. For those guys in particular. They won't understand it as quickly as the others.
Yeah, it's like, listen, when if you could make something that everybody understands or 15% of the people understand and you're going to have 100% attendance anyway, you may as well tell everybody, like, say the word everybody understands, you know?
I'm sorry, I just got a funny memory from Michael Penix era, actually, now that I remember. One time he was on Instagram Live, and obviously this is during the 2020 year, so like everyone's buzzing about Indiana. I hop on this Insta Live, just kind of watching him while I'm like doing some homework or something. And then people are just like gassing him up, like asking him all these weird ass questions. I'm just like, I just post in the comments like, guys, it's just Mike, he's just normal dude, normal ass dude or something like that. And he just goes, and Mike just goes, you know what? Shout out Brad Loomis. I was like, holy smokes, what the fuck just happened?
Dude, how long have I known you? I can't believe I didn't fucking know that. What?
Yeah, well, it's just a small little thing that happened, but it was hilarious in the moment. It was so funny. I was like, damn, I just got shouted out by Mike Penix. He's just a normal-ass dude, guys. Like, come on. Ask him normal questions. Like, what's your, are you tots or fries? Like, ask him that shit. Like, that's what he cares about. Like, stop asking him weird shit. You know, what's your favorite color, Mike? What's your favorite... It's like, I remember playing with, like, David...
Who's your favorite quarterback to watch? I remember... You know, like, ask him quarterback shit.
Yeah, like, in high school, like, you know, you'd have, like, your teammates that are getting, you know, interviewed by all the recruiting pundits and stuff like that. And, you know, David Long would always come back and being like, yeah, those interviews are such bullshit. Like, they never ask me, like, my favorite color or, like, anything like that. Like, they're always talking about, like, what schools are talking to me and stuff like that. Like, they're just normal-ass people. Like, just ask them normal-ass questions. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. Did you see the Humble the Huskies poster put out by the IU Credit Union? That, or I don't even know who put it out, actually. I think it was, like, marked by the credit union. Martha the Mop Lady posted it, though. That poster was dope. Humble the Huskies. I need to get my hands on that.
I can't wait to humble the Huskies this weekend. Even though they've been pretty humbled so far this year. They, as talented as they are, they've definitely underachieved so far and been very humbled in multiple occasions. So we'll get into that later. Yes.
But they are, like, what, the third team in a row that's going to face Indiana coming off a bye?
Fourth team this season.
It's fucking so ridiculous. But Buffaloes just opened their Karma location. Shout out to Buffaloes. They're up and running. That happened over the weekend. Yeah, shout out to Buffaloes.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's long overdue. Like, I'm surprised they weren't already in Indy.
Well, they were. I feel like they've been talking about the Karma location, like, since we were in school. And definitely, like, ramping up talks about that since we were in school. So, like, I feel like it has been in the works for a while. So it is nice to see that they open the doors and they're able to, like, they're doing food service. They're serving people. They're doing deliveries, all that good stuff. So, like, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, those commercial real estate deals, they take a while. They take a while. Long deal cycles. Hence the talks.
Let's jump into it. How are your vocal cords feeling, Brad?
My vocal cords? I'm feeling good. Like, it's late.
You were like,
it's late, and I talk all day for a living too. So it's like,
yeah. Tell us about the Washington.
Yeah, we got
Huskies.
The Huskies.
I could not be more excited.
Yeah, the Washington Huskies from Seattle, Washington, which is, you know, one of my favorite cities in America. Right, and honestly, like, going into, like, when Washington made the move over to the Big Ten, like, in terms of the vibes, like, I've been on campus and stuff like that. Gorgeous campus. Gorgeous city. And honestly, they're a great fit for the conference. I don't care about any of these geography, but of the four Washington schools, like, they fit the bill for, you know, a Big Ten program. Almost to a T, like, the big lettered logo, things like that. The beautiful campus, the, you know, the change of colors in the seasons. Like,
The academics.
Like, they are as Big Ten as it gets. Like, they're
it's a good school.
They're a great, fantastic school. Like, think Seattle, Washington, think Space Needle, think Pike's Place, the beautiful Puget Sound, Mount Rainier, you know, the mountain backdrop, it's beautiful. And then, you know, think Starbucks.
And the fish market too.
Yeah, well, that's Pike's Place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where they toss the fish. Have you been?
Yeah. No.
It's awesome.
No, I've never been. Actually, first time I've been west of the Mississippi was when I landed in St. Paul and drove to Portage, Wisconsin, like 2 weeks ago.
That was your first time crossing the Mississippi?
In the country, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
I got to expand my horizons. Yeah, I'm a very east-driven person.
Yeah, you got to get out to the Midwest Coast country.
Yeah, I got to get out west.
Midwest Coast.
I got to get out to Seattle.
You trademark that. Midwest Coast.
Is that like Colorado?
Midwest Coast? That's like LA. Think Coast. LA. Think,
oh, like, yeah,
Seattle. Right. Think Eugene, Oregon. Think.
Oh, Midwest.
Midwest Coast. Coast. Big Ten country. Not San Francisco, though. Not San Francisco. Yeah. Seattle's a great place, though. Huge tech hub. Home to Microsoft, Amazon, DocuSign. Cultural-wise, produce some of the best music groups out there. Jimi Hendrix, the band, formed in Seattle, Washington. It's the birthplace of grunge music. Think Nirvana. Think Pearl Jam. Think Soundgarden. All from Seattle. And bipartisan, like, coming out with Foo Fighters, too. One of my favorite bands. Dave Grohl. Shout out Dave Grohl. Washington native. Seattle native. Just a young kid. Drumming drums for Kurt Cobain. Making a name for himself. And by the way, fun fact. Most of the city is powered by hydroelectric power. How cool is that? Very green city. Doesn't run off fossil fuels. Runs off the ocean. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I love Seattle. It's a great place to visit, especially in the summer. Yeah, people talk about summertime summertime Seattle.
Does it really rain as much as people make it out to seem?
Yeah, it is very gloomy, but not during the summer. Summer, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, that rain and gloom.
Yeah, but during the non-summer months, it gets very gloomy and rainy. But still, lovely place to live. And my uncle, aunt and uncle have lived there forever. My uncle's a Pasadena native. He moved up to Seattle. He's been there for over 30 years. Loves it over there. Still there. We'll probably retire there.
He said, I can't stand this sunshine. I got to get out of here.
Well, Seattle's a great place. They got out there during, you know, the mass migration over there when that city was bumping up. But yeah, I guess that's enough about, you know, Seattle, the city. More into Washington. So, like, you know, famous alumni, you know, Joel McHale from Community. Love that show.
Phenomenal.
Love that show. And the soup. What was that? Like, the soup? He did that spiff, like, celebrity news show.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but
that's way Community back. That's a pull by me.
Community is, like, up there.
Community,
like,
all-time show.
I don't watch
show.
Any TV, and I've watched Community.
That's a great show. Very underrated. Very quirky, but, like, once you catch the vibe, like, it's such a good show.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Such a good show. And then Anna Faris, for those who don't know, Chris Pratt's ex-wife. Also from the Scary Movie 1 through 32. She's great in that. Hope Solo, former United States women's national team goalkeeper, beat up her boyfriend, got in a lot of trouble. She was, you know, purple and gold goalkeeper. I think Megan Rapinoe is also from Washington. And then former slam dunk comp. You know, three-time slam dunk competition winner, Nate Robinson, also played on the football team back at UW. Just like Joel McHale did, actually, too.
And got knocked out by Jake Paul.
Yeah. Got knocked out by Jake Paul, yeah. Did get knocked out by Jake Paul.
Slept by Jake Paul, which, honestly, it's like he shouldn't have got in the ring with him because Jake can box. But nobody knew that.
Nate Robinson was on the team because he was actually, like, a good DB in high school. He played DB for the Huskies. Joel McHale was a former rower. They converted to tight end at, like, since he's like 6'6", 6'7". And he was ass. He's not a good football player. Like,
yeah, there's no that
converted
sense.
Rower. That's all you need to know
converted
about that.
Converted rower.
And Kelsey Plum.
Who was the hold on. Who was the fucking football coach that looked at Joel McHale at rowing and was like, I need that guy playing?
No, it was more so like, we need a tight end. Holy fuck.
Oh no.
We'll give him a shot. We got enough scholarship spots. We got like 85 scholarships. We're good. We use one on a rower.
That's too funny.
Yeah, and Kelsey Plum, you know, probably an all-time college women's basketball player over there at Washington. Now a star in the WNBA. And one of my favorites, Brandon Roy. You know Brandon Roy. One of the biggest what could have been if he never got hurt. He was
super talented.
He was a top five shooting guard in his day for the Trailblazers, UW. I hated when he would play my Bruins. Oh my god, he'd torch them. And a little fun fact: Bruce Lee actually attended Washington, never graduated, but I guess they can claim Bruce Lee because he didn't go to another university. And Jeff Bezos went.
How'd that work out for Bruce?
Damn, bro.
Worked out pretty well.
Damn. And then Jeff Bezos was there for like a year and then transferred to Princeton.
I saw you write that down and I was going to be like, "That no, they can't claim Bezos." And I was like, well, that means we can't claim Penix. So then I was like,
yeah, pick your poison. Yeah. Pick your poison. Famous.
We'll get, they get Bezos because we get Penix. That's how that works.
Sure. We can play with that. That works. Famous. Well, I guess we'll just get into the Washington football history of it all. Famous alumni, Warren Moon. It's probably the most notable one. Mark Brunell. Shout out Duval. Shout out the Jags. Greatest quarterback in Jacksonville Jaguars history. Corey Dillon, who was on the Bengals and the Patriots back in his day. Jake Locker, who kind of brought, you know, Washington, hype to Washington back. Washington football back a little bit, you know. Probably was the biggest quarterback prospect to come out of that school since Warren Moon. And then other names like Danny Shelton, Shaq Thompson, Reggie Williams, who's their all-time leading receiver, also a Duval legend. Not a Duval legend. He was kind of a bust. But, yeah, Washington, they claimed two national titles. They've gone to 42 bowl games. They're 17th all time in wins, 778. They have 325 NFL draft picks. That's 16th all time. Pretty good. They produce talent.
They have a good football history. Oh. That's why it was a little surprising to see DeBoer leave. Not that it's surprising that he left for the Alabama job, but that he was the guy they targeted. I mean, it all made sense, but it just like it seemed like that's a job you can keep and win at, and so like I don't know.
Yeah, it's a.
I don't know what happened there.
It's a prestigious.
But like also school. Like when Alabama comes knocking, but also like is Alabama Alabama if Saban's not there?
Like I said, for you to like, say, you know, 10 wins should be acceptable every year for any program, regardless. And if you're discrediting your previous coach that won national titles, if you don't think 10 wins is good enough. And a lot of teams fall into that trap all the time. I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case with Washington, though. They've kind of had their funny little things that have happened to them over the course of the years that's kind of derailed their football program. We're going to get into that right now. So we'll flash it back to 1957. That's like one of my least far
that's
back.
That's one of the latest. Yeah.
Yeah. We're already ahead of the game here.
Yeah. Ahead of it. I thought you were going to take me to the 1840s.
Yeah. Well, before that, like they go to a few Rose Bowls. They haven't won a Rose Bowl up until this point. They've gone to 4 Rose Bowls at this point, lost 3, tied 1. They hired in 1957, they hired Jim Owens as their head coach. In his third year, he wins the conference and wins their first ever Rose Bowl. And then in 1960, he wins the conference again, going 10-1, winning the Rose Bowl back-to-back years. They got rid of the no-repeat rule, the Rose Bowl. Shout out the Rose Bowl for doing that. Remember the no-repeat rule? You remember the no-repeat rule?
Yeah, of course.
Why they
we learned that.
They couldn't have UCLA and Ohio State playing the Rose Bowl for the national title because of the no-repeat rule way back in the day. Mm-hmm. But in 1960, they go 10-1, win the Rose Bowl over number one ranked Minnesota. They finished the season ranked 5 in the AP, 6 in the coaches. However, they have a national title claimed this year. The Helms Athletic Foundation granted them a national title. That is their first national title that they have claimed. Is that legit? I don't know, but that's their first national title that they claimed.
Some pop-up association probably started in Seattle, Washington, was just like, they're the champs. They just claim them to be the champs.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because now we're going to talk about the Helms Athletic Foundation a little bit. It is a Los Angeles-based organization, so they definitely are biased toward West Coast teams.
Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Yeah, how crazy is that? And then,
I don't care that the entire country believes this is the fifth best team. That's the national champions. What?
Yeah, national champions that ranked 5 in the country. So with that, they keep Jim Owens there from 1960 on till Jim Owens' last 14 seasons in Washington. He goes to 1 Rose Bowl, loses it, and doesn't go to a single other bowl game. However, this is the 60s and early 70s. Not a ton of bowl game opportunities to go after at this point. Which then leads to them moving on after 14 years of just somewhat, you know, mediocrity is what you'd like to call it. You know, they have that national title with Jim Owens. They kind of ride him out. And then 1975, they hire Kent State's head coach, Don James, former lieutenant in the United States Army during the Cold War. If that counts, I'm not sure. And yeah, Don James is kind of the catalyst.
Of course that. What do you mean if that counts? Of course that counts. Why wouldn't that count?
I forgot we're a pro troops pod. My bad. That's on me.
No, it's not even regardless. If you earn a rank, you got there. Like, what do you mean?
No, I mean, I'm not discrediting him being in the army. I'm just saying, like, did he serve in a war? I'm not sure. Is that a real war?
I don't know.
I don't know.
If there was no war to fight, you can't serve.
The history books are a little fuzzy on that war. They don't give you a whole lot.
On the Cold War?
They really don't. They don't teach you
much. No, they do give you a lot. What history books are you reading?
Clearly not the right ones. Clearly. Well, Don James, hired in 1975, becomes their... There's a statue of Don James outside of Husky Stadium now. And for good reason. He goes on to win 4 bowl games in his 17 years there. Goes to... Did I say bowl games? I meant 4 Rose Bowls. He goes 4-2 in the Rose Bowl during his time there, including a stretch where he went to...
4-2.
9 straight bowl games. 9 straight. From 1979 to 1987. And then they break through. In 1991, they go and have their first ever undefeated season, winning the Rose Bowl, finishing in the AP ranked number 1, number 2 in the coaches, so they claim they share a title, national title that year. That's how it worked back then. They didn't have a national title game until the BCS came in, like, the late 90s. It's so
fucking dumb. How could they be like, we're just going to play a whole season and then declare the winner? They just
declare the national title. That's how it worked back then.
Just play for it. Like, what the hell?
They didn't have the... Like, there wasn't enough money in the sport yet. We're talking the 90s. So, 1991, they win their first real national championship. And then in 1992, you know, they go 9-3. They win the Pac-12. They're at that point, the Pac-8, Pac-10, whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, they lost in the Rose Bowl. However, some sanctions come up. Some rule violations by Don James, who does have a statue. Great. Cheating gets you statues. That's all I'm going to say. So, early in their... I guess in his run, so like in 77 when they go to their first Rose Bowl under the Don James era, and this is his third year at this point, in that season, and then in a few other seasons early in that era, they were playing ineligible players. Simple as that. Just a little...
Like grades?
Yeah, so it kind of came to an ultimatum. Like, you're either going to sit here and take these are the Pac-10. This wasn't an NCAA violation. The Pac-10 actually came down with these sanctions, where
you guys are too. It was going to be how to stop you.
Their punishment ended up being, so Don James had to resign, which his wife later said saved his life because he was under a lot of stress. He's an old guy, and yeah, they had a 1 year no TV media.
Whoa.
And 2 years of bowl ineligibility.
If that happened now, no year of TV media, there would be a
no revenue. No revenue sharing for a year.
There would be an armed revolt by that university.
Yeah. No revenue sharing for a year. Because at first it was either going to be 2 years no revenue sharing and one bowl ban. 1 year
bowl. Does that happen now?
But they negotiated it to 1 year of revenue and 2 year bowl ban.
I guess I gotta look that up.
Yeah, so they made Don...
That'd be insane if that happened now. That would be crippling.
Yeah, so they made Don James resign in 1993. Jim Lambright takes over the program, wins 7 games each year in those non-bowl eligibility years, ineligible for the bowl. They win the conference in his third year. They're right back on track. They go to 4 straight bowls. And then, kind of mediocrity, they end up, you know, parting ways. For whatever reason, they hire former UCLA quarterback, Rick Neuheisel. Soon, later on, becomes the UCLA head coach. However, has a great run at Washington. 1999, going 7-5 in his first year. Second year in 2000, they go 11-1. Fantastic season, win the Pac. And they win the Rose Bowl. Ended up being ranked 3 in the country that year. In 2000. They were 100% national title contenders that year. And then Rick Neuheisel proceeds to go on to 2 more bowl games. However, in 2002, Ricky gets caught up in a gambling scandal.
Yeah.
So this violation, he ended up joining. This is where the NCAA gets a little too into the weeds here. So Rick Neuheisel joined a neighborhood pool circling around the NCAA basketball tournament. And basically, they force him to resign. And Rick has these boys going. Like, he has a program that's kind of, you know, going to bowl games every year. Like, that's for most programs, that's, you know, satisfactory, right? So they force him to resign. And later comes out that, you know, he wasn't, you know, at fault there. And he ends up suing Washington and the NCAA. It becomes a whole thing. And then he ends up going back to the NFL, becomes the quarterback's coach for the Ravens and whatnot. But we're talking about Washington here. So they make Rick Neuheisel, you know, resign. 2000, and then Washington kind of enters a little bit of a dark age here for 8 years. They go on a little 8-year bowl game job. Keith Gilbertson, 2 years done. Tyrone Willingham, 4 years done, capped off by an 0-12 season in 2008.
Oh, and they kept him the whole year?
2008, yeah. Well, yeah, Washington was bad, dude. That's when I started watching college football, and Washington was just bad. They were just so mediocre. And, yeah, they end up obviously firing Tyrone Willingham, the former Stanford and Notre Dame head coach. But at the time, that was like a big hire for them. He falls flat on his face over at Washington, can't rebuild it. You know, this is during, you know, the Pete Carroll days. It's really hard to recruit in California at that point. It's really hard to get good players. Everyone's going to USC, UCLA, Cal. Everyone's going to those places. They're not going to Washington at that point. In 2009, they hire Pete Carroll assistant Steve Sarkisian to, you know, bring this program from the ashes, and he does. He does. 5-7 in his first year, proceeding to go in 2010, 7-6, bowl win. 2011, 7-6, bowl loss. 2012, 7-6 with a bowl loss. And in 2013, 9-4 with a bowl win. He ends up getting poached by USC, obviously. We all know how that ended up. He got drunk at a booster meeting, ended up getting fired after going 8-4 like every year at USC. Anyways, after they part ways with Steve Sarkisian, after he gets poached, they hire Boise State head coach Chris Peterson in 2014.
Which is a ballsy move at the time and a really sharp move at the time.
Oh, yeah. Sharp move by both teams, because at this point, you know, Sarkisian was able to get this program back up and running again. You know, it's like rebuilding the old, you know, Mustang in the garage, basically, is what Steve Sarkisian did. And then Chris Peterson was able to take it out for a test drive. He was able, you know, tops off. We're driving down PCH, and yeah, Chris Peterson wins three straight Pac-12 titles, including a playoff. How many playoff appearances? One playoff appearance, the Peach Bowl, where they got waxed by Alabama, an unfair fight. You know, pre-portal,
for sure.
You know, built with a bunch of shout out my boy Miles Bryant, who was on that team. He was a former walk-on, got playing time as a true freshman because he's a dog. He's ended up going undrafted to the Patriots. He's still playing for the Texans today. So shout out Miles Bryant. And yeah, Chris Peterson has a great run. Obviously ends up retiring in 2019, where they promote from within Jimmy Lake, who goes 3-1 in his first year. And then the second year, not going so hot. They're 4-5. He ends up shoving a player. They end up firing him, basically on the
spot.
What
do you say about Oregon?
I forget what he said about Oregon. They hate each other.
He insulted their academics.
Oh yeah, I mean anyone with a pulse gets into Oregon. But anyways, in 2021, you know, they end up firing Jimmy Lake, and then they go to Fresno State to hire former Indiana offensive coordinator Kalen DeBoer, who was at the time a proven winner with a resume that honestly was better than Cignetti's was at the time of hiring. He won three national titles at Sioux Falls. Basically, everywhere Kalen DeBoer won DeBoer. Big. And that was a knockout of the park hire. Goes 11-2 his first year, wins the Alamo Bowl, ends the season ranked 8. And obviously last year in 2023, Kalen DeBoer leads with Michael Penix, Jalen Polk, all those guys, all the way to the national title game where they lose to eventual national champ Michigan on a an unprecedented run out of nowhere. I actually picked them to make the playoff that year because they won 11 games the previous year and then brought back – they had zero NFL draft picks. Zero NFL draft picks from that 11-2 team. Kalen DeBoer brought everyone back for that run at a national title, and it got him the Bama job. So, Washington.
And he might be back at Washington very soon.
Yeah, so Washington had a pivot real quick. Real quick. So they go to Arizona to poach their head coach, who goes by the name of Jed Fish, who is a hot name in the college ranks. You just go down the resume. He's been in the NFL since 2022. Since 2002. My bad. I can't read. It's late. Where he's basically an OC quarterback coach type guru, you know, was a Jags OC for a little bit. Shout out Duvall. He's at Michigan, ends up being the OC at UCLA for a little bit. Ends up, you know, back on the Rams, back as quarterbacks coach as the Patriots, and then gets hired at Arizona. Has three, you know, rebuilds that program in 3 years, gets the Washington job. A very hot name in the college football coaching ranks at the time. And I think it was a great hire. I think they got it right with Jed Fish for a little bit.
I'm a Jed Fish fan. This has been said more than once, but I obviously really enjoy the team he put together for Arizona last year. I think he's a good head coach. He's shown the ability to recruit and to build a program.
Yeah, he's a great offensive mind.
You can do that at Washington.
He's a great offensive mind that comes from the NFL and clearly has a liking for the college game because he keeps going back and forth and he keeps on trying to get into the college ranks and trying to, you know, build up his resume for, you know, what would be his eventual head coaching job. He was an interim coach when Jim Mora got fired at UCLA. That was his first little taste of head coaching. And then goes back to the NFL for a little bit, learns from McVay, learns from Belichick, goes to Arizona. The dude's learned from everyone, basically, at this point. And kind of just going into Washington's year this year so far, they beat Weber State handily, 35-3. They get Eastern Washington at home, beat them handily, 30-9. Once again, they're not putting up 40 points like Indiana was. I thought Indiana doesn't play anyone. You know, you look at these other teams play, you know, mediocre teams. They're not able to take care of business like the Hoosiers are. Apple Cup, he loses his first ever Apple Cup, which is not a great look. They played that game in Seattle in, what's that stadium called? The Seahawks Stadium?
Oh, Lumen?
Yeah, that one. They lose to Washington State on neutral site. They beat the brakes off Northwestern the following week, 24-5. Then they lose on the road to Rutgers, 21-18. They get that big one.
Travel theory.
Yeah, they get that big win at home against Michigan. So your travel theory works very well with the Washington Huskies. Because then they end up going to Iowa, which only is a, like what, 2 hour time difference? 1 hour? Are they mountain time?
Iowa?
Yeah.
No, Iowa's got to be
Central time, like us, like
yeah.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they had the brakes blown off them, 40-16 to Iowa. They're coming off a bye, and that brings them to Memorial Stadium in Bloomington, Indiana, to a sold out crowd, college game day. It's going to be October 26, 2024, on Big Ten Network, noon kickoff. It's the Washington Huskies taking on the Indiana Hoosiers. For a little historical context here, Indiana actually leads this series 2-1 all time. Lee Corso swept a home and home back in 76 and 78, taking care of business. They played in 2003, where Washington won 38-13. Yeah, what are the keys to this game?
Oh, Taven Jackson, obviously, number one. Definitely, that's not where I thought you were going with this. I thought you were about to, like, bust into, like, 12 different things. I started to wrap my brain around literally like what year is it? 2024, 3 years ago today, or I guess yesterday, I had a video of being back for homecoming week, and it was an Ohio State game. And like it was at the tailgate fields or whatever. And I remember being at Memorial Stadium and sitting there in the rain as Ohio State like just pummeled Indiana 50-7. And now fast forward 3 years later and we're the ones doing the fucking pummeling. What's up? This shit's awesome. But yeah, Taven Jackson, number one. Obviously, it's not that Curtis Work wasn't important to the offense. That's doesn't need to be stated. He was. I think one of the most underrated parts about Rourke's game is that you really didn't like it was never like, oh, Rourke needs to play well today. It was like Rourke's gonna play well, and okay, what's happening with
how else? Much are we gonna win so, by today? It's kind of like when exactly. Rourke's on the field.
Yeah, it's like Rourke's in complete control. He's seen it all, done it all, heard it all, seen all the coverages. Like he's like that's part of the reason why our run game's been so good is because he's getting run looks and he's handing the ball off. Like, he's getting pass looks, he's throwing the ball. It sounds simple, but it's hard to execute. So, like, Taven, obviously, is highly capable. He's looked phenomenal in limited game action this year. If he plays the way that he has shown he can in the game action he's had this year, then
we're not going to have a problem.
This is going to be a very ugly game for Washington.
Yeah, and the reality is that we've seen a small sample size from Taven. First off, I want to correct myself. I don't think Rourke's going to be playing. I said in the last pod that Rourke might be playing in this game. Kurt Cignetti went out in his press conference, flat out said,
immediately,
Rourke's not playing. I think he'll be back for Michigan
State. He's talking
State.
To you.
Yeah, he was talking to me. He. I know Brian Haynes listened to this podcast and told him they're saying Rourke's going to play this weekend. You got to clear that up. Brian, stop telling on me to sit, all right? Quit it. Stop it. You're going to get me in trouble. Anyways, but I think Taven is going to be prepared for this game. Like Work said on the Heisman pod, he has the answers to all the tests. He has the answers to the test. It's as simple as that. You know, the offense is very quarterback friendly. It makes it easy for Taven to make reads and show off his talent like we saw in that back shoulder throw to Surratt in the Nebraska game.
Beautiful.
You know, it comes down to the O-line, just keeping him clean, keeping him healthy. And if he needs to escape, he has the ability to escape, which I think is a nice little wrinkle to this game that we haven't had in other games.
I think Rourke has shown a nice little ability to escape, but it's that extra added element of the quarterback run game that Rourke doesn't have. Like, Rourke's not really a threat to tuck it and run or, like, keep it on a read option and take it like 50-60 yards. Like, Taven's got some scoot.
Yeah, they're gonna call read optional a good bit in this game.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna try to get, you know, they're gonna roll Taven out. They're gonna do some fun things with him. It's gonna be great to see, and I can't wait. This is a big opportunity to kind of claim the job for next year, which you alluded to on the last pod. It's just a great opportunity for him. I'm so excited for him. I can't stress how excited I am for, because obviously we all love Taven. It being just by him,
yeah, we love
just
Taven.
By him, just because he's brothers with someone, literally. That's like, at the end of the day, that's why we love him. Now it's time for him to kind of make his own name at Indiana, and this is his big opportunity to do so, is to get a big dub over a talented team at home in our undefeated
game
in our playoff run.
Couldn't have put it better. I mean, I like Taven for the fact that he decided to come home and then stick through it, even though he knew he wasn't going to be the starter, and went into it with a growth mindset. And like the way they talk about him as like a teammate and like in the locker room. And Omar Cooper spoke with the media and just like talked about Taven's mindset and like how he just was like completely bought in and wanted to learn and understood all the experience Rourke had and. Like, really, like, attached himself to the hip almost. He didn't say that, but he said, like, he, like, learned from him a lot, like, a lot of the process stuff that Rourke does. So that he said it was a really beneficial for Taven to have that type of relationship. And now he gets to show what he's learned in the last 6 to 8 months, like, under this new coaching staff. And I echo your sentiment. I'm super excited. Like, he's got all the talent in the world. And so if
Like, if the development is what we think it's been, then he's going to go out there and we're not going to skip a beat.
Yeah.
The only other thing, I guess, would be, and I'm really not worried about this being, like, I'm not worried about this coaching staff not preparing this team, right? So I'm not worried about a letdown, but it's discipline. Like, just, if they just continue to execute, they're going to be fine. They're going to do really well. Just be disciplined.
Yeah, this is a classic letdown spot coming off a 49-point dub over in a very emotional win against the first sold-out home game of the year against a Big Ten opponent. Yeah, I won't freak out when Taven throws a pick. I won't be nervous. It'll just be the next play. Because I know Rourke's going to be there with the headset. You don't think Rourke's going to have a headset? He's going to be so involved with that game.
No, 100%. He's going to be on the sideline there. Yeah.
He's going to be like a second quarterback coach for him. It's going to be awesome. Him and Tino are just going to be coaching him up. It's going to be great. He's going to have a fantastic game. Yeah, as long as the O-line keeps doing their thing, we're going to be fine. We're going to run the ball. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. If we're averaging 10 yards a carry again, like, it doesn't matter what Taven does.
Listen, they put enough tape out there. Like, what they did to that Nebraska defensive line, like, I no longer question. Not that I was questioning the offensive line before. I guess technically I kind of was. But it's like, man, they just keep producing. So it's like, no, I'm not that worried. They're going to probably look pretty good against Washington. Like, Ohio State, Michigan, like, let's see it. But until, like, I don't know. Like, Washington's a good football team, but, like, this is Indiana.
Yeah, they're very talented. They're coming off. Obviously, they lost a ton of guys from that national championship team last year. But they have a ton of dudes on the other side of the ball. There's one name on the defensive side of the ball, Ephesians Prysock. One of the best names I've ever seen. Did you just blow your nose? Is the mic going to pick that up?
If it does, I'll mute it. But yeah, I got to blow my nose. I don't know what you want from me. I can't just sit here with a nose full of snot.
Yeah, so that's what you think about Ephesians Prysock, who probably is the most probably the most notable guy on that Washington defense just because of his name. Starting corner over there, he's like 6'3". You know me, I love my 6'3 corners. That's a name to watch out for. Number 7 on your program. Washington's defense is very good, coached by Bill Belichick's son. So it'll be a good test for the team. Like, don't get this twisted, but from what I've seen this year, we're dropping 40 again. Doesn't matter who we're playing.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Yeah, I guess we can flip it to the other side of the ball. Talk about the defense a little bit for Bryant. You know, I don't want to say anything bad because I know Bryant's just going to spin everything I say to Coach Seg.
No, I'm not. I'm really not worried about the defense either. Like, we're just a better football team.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get after the quarterback. We're going to be clamps on the outside. We don't give up big plays. You're going to have to execute 9-10 play drives over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And if you can continue to do that, you might have a chance to stay in the ballgame with us. And if you can't, well, you're
fine. Yeah, they're going to have to score every other possession to maybe be in this game. Maybe. Will they be able to do that? This is Jed Fish's specialty, the offensive side of the ball. They have plenty of talent. Will Rogers at quarterback. They have a great receiving duo in Giles Jackson and Denzel Boston. Denzel Boston already has 9 receiving touchdowns this year. Dude's a stud.
That's a banana stat.
Dude's a stud. And, yeah, they're Jonah Coleman, the transfer running back they brought in, is very talented as well. They're very talented on that side of the ball. Definitely not something. I'm not looking over this team at all. However, from what I've seen so far this year at Indiana, we are the better team. We should take care of business. But yeah, definitely a match. That's probably the matchup I'm most intrigued by, is if Washington can hang around with us and score enough points to be in this game. I mean, they do play
comfortable to Iowa.
The results haven't shown. Remember, early in the year, they were like 4-2, and they were still like, remember that EPA graphic, the efficiency per play or whatever. They were up there in the top 15. The results on the field just haven't shown. They're a heavily penalized team. They lose the turnover battle. They're very careless with the ball. They play complementary football in all other facets, but they're just a little sloppy. And that's what you're going to get with the first-year head coach, typically.
And they're going to get slaughtered by this.
Yeah, like, they're good. They're going to go to a bowl game.
You can't be sloppy and undisciplined and think you can beat this Hoosier team.
100%. We're not going to be making mistakes, and we just got to let them make the mistakes. That's what it comes down to. Now, if they play perfect football, this is a team that can hang with us. Will they play perfect football? Yeah. I'm not entirely confident in that. It's yet to be seen with this Washington team yet. They definitely have a bright future ahead, but it's not gonna be showing this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm not picking a 9 a.m. road game with the rowdiness that's going to be in that stadium as their like coming out party. This is probably going to be a nice little showcase for Taven Jackson.
Can't wait. It'll be a good test for him. It'll be a good test for him. Yeah, I do have a score prediction. I'm liking 38-24 Hoosiers.
Dude, I fucking hate you. Why do you... Oh,
it's not a diss on the defense.
No, I know, but I was also thinking 38. Now I can't...
38, I feel like I gotta change 24 it. Hoosiers. Well, yeah, just bump it up to 40-something. Because that's probably what's going to... They're probably going to prove me wrong because I picked like them to score 30 against Nebraska. They put up 56.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be like 45-17.
I like that. Add a touchdown, subtract a touchdown for my score. I like that. That's probably what's going to... Yeah. Based on every score prediction I've given so far this year, it's like seems...
17 feels high, but they are coming off a bye. So if you're coming off a bye and you can't scheme up three touchdowns...
It's Jed Fish coming off a bye. What did you spend your time doing? He's a great offensive mind. He's going to scheme something up. Bryant, I know you're listening, and I know you're ready. Your defense is going to make enough plays to win the game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to – I mean, listen, sometimes you just have good offense. You can't stop the offense every time.
You can't. Will Rogers, Jonah Coleman, Denzel Boston.
Try your damn best.
This is probably the most talented offense we've seen this year. Top to bottom. I'll take them over Nebraska. Their offense. Maryland's semi-decent, but I think they're just like a way more talented Maryland.
But like the best offense we've played this year is Northwestern.
No, it's not. Stop it. Yes, it Jack is. Lausch show. Jack Lausch time. Lausch me.
Lausch.
That dude was running for his life.
Was he, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was running for his life.
He was.
Yeah. That's how they got any offense, then to throw a screen to Henning. Henning and Bryce Kurtz, I think is his name. They had a great game against us, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, it comes down, like, Bryce Kurtz and A.J. Henning, like, they Denzel Boston, Giles Jackson is a little bit of an upgrade from that. So, it'll be a good test for our DBs once again, who... I keep saying are getting better week over week. They made a ton of plays. They're definitely riding high off that 3-interception game they had last week. So, yeah, excited for this matchup. It's, 38-24, my prediction.
45-17. Hoosiers. What if I was like 45-17, Washington?
I don't know. Yeah, no. But I'm not, despite our score predictions, like not looking past this team at all. Very talented.
No, coming we off still got to play them.
Yeah.
Listen, their problem is they have to play us.
I love those gold helmets, by the way. Gold helmets always, always slap. Washington is the most underrated helmet in the country.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't really care about anything Washington's bringing to the table this weekend. They're another nameless, faceless football team showing up to get their teeth caved in.
Do you think they wear purple pants?
No.
I hate when they go,
actually,
teams shouldn't wear the same colored pants, yes, same colored jersey, or same colored helmet. There's enough
as the other team
uniform combos out there's there, especially variety, in college yeah. football, to where you can change it up so that we don't have two teams wearing white pants or two teams wearing white helmets. I guess if it's Washington, Wisconsin, or Nebraska, Wisconsin, I'll accept it for the helmets. But, like, we can't be wearing the same colored pants, same colored jerseys. That can't be happening. Purple pants from Washington, I need it. No white pants. I don't want it. A little bit of a tangent there, but I need the aesthetic, bro. I need the aesthetic.
Did you want to run the Big Ten?
Yeah, real quick, one last stat. Will Rogers is averaging negative 1.7 yards per carry. So yeah, he's not much good of a dual threat this year. I think we'll be able to get to him, and he's going to have to make a lot of plays out there. But they'll scheme some things up and get some points on the board for sure.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
And big. All right, who's playing in the Big Ten this week?
We got Big Ten. Yeah, Friday night. Friday night on Fox, once again. Every week. We got Rutgers.
I hate Friday night football.
At USC. USC is minus 13.5. Total's at 56.5.
That feels weird.
Yeah, well, I'm taking USC in this game. At home.
Oh, yeah. I got to put the travel theory to the test. You have to take the home
team. I mean, Rutgers coming off a loss to UCLA. They're looking like one of the worst teams in the Big Ten week after week after week.
And they're coming across the country.
Yeah, like USC and I like that spread. Lincoln Riley needs to cover the spread for his job.
Yeah, he's on the hot seat. Like,
if it's a slugfest like with Rutgers and they barely squeak it out, like, has a coach ever gotten fired after a win? Gets fired on the tarmac after a win. At least Lane Kiffin lost to Arizona State when he got fired on the tarmac.
Did Mullen lose his last game?
Mullins.
Dan?
Oh, Dan Mullen?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Florida fell into that trap firing a 10-win head coach. That's the team I'm alluding to. They fall into that trap. Like, don't
I know.
Don't fire the coach that wins 9 games every year. Don't do it. It's an easy trap to fall into. But teams do it anyways, and then they go into mediocrity. Just look at Florida. Look at Florida State. Look at Nebraska. Still doesn't come back. UCLA fell into the same trap. So, yeah. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. But if your team loses to Rutgers at home on Friday night, I'd say that's worth firing, especially when you're 3-5 at that point. And you're USC. Next game, big noon kickoff, Nebraska. Why do they do this to Nebraska? This is abuse at this point. Elderly abuse.
This is
elderly
abuse.
I'll call it elderly abuse because they're like that old man that's yelling from the front porch, basically, at this point. Like, we're irrelevant, you know? Like, no, they're not. Nebraska goes to Ohio State. The spread is 25.5.
Nebraska's going to get fucking
killed. There's just
killed.
No way. It'll be interesting to see if Ohio State's able.
Can you imagine if Nebraska beats Ohio State? Then are the Hoosiers going to roll them, too? That'd be insane.
If Nebraska stays within 3 touchdowns, I'll be so confident going to Columbus.
If Ohio State doesn't cover, we're beating them by 4 touchdowns this year.
Transitive property. Always effective in college football.
It always works.
It always applies. Transitive property.
It's never failed. Don't look that up.
It's never failed. There's never been a team that beat one team and then lost to a team that team they beat lost. There's never happened.
It's just never happened. Not once.
Perfect. You I'm who pretty you taking sure in that Big game? Noon who, probably. Wait, who are you taking in that game?
I like Nebraska.
Spread. I like Ryola. Give me Ryola.
No. Give me Nebraska money line, bro.
Laser beam pointed at Earth. Give me Dylan Ryola.
How are you going to bet against Ryola? He might throw 3 touchdowns to Ohio State himself.
CBS slot, 230K. Illinois going to Oregon. This easily could have flexed Indiana into this game so easily, but they didn't. It is what it is. They were daunted. CBS
no,
is daunted.
This game, no, this is a better game than Indiana's gonna win by fucking 40, bro.
Put it's Indiana on game. CBS. God damn it, just do it.
They're gonna be on CBS when they play Michigan, when they play Ohio State. One of those two games will be on CBS. Maybe
multiple CBS games.
One of the next 3 games is gonna be a CBS game.
I want multiple CBS games.
I'm not that upset. Like this is objectively just a better football game.
Well, when you're a blue blood in the Big Ten, you put on CBS, like Indiana.
Yeah, Oregon, they're on.
All right, who you like? Oregon, Illinois, Oregon at home. The spread's 21.5. Total's 54.
If Oregon, like, a transitive property, I know we're kind of joking, but it is pretty a solid way to, like, measure how good a team is. Like, if Oregon loses this game, my brain will break.
Illinois's frisky as hell. I like the under here, 54.5. Because Oregon,
Illinois gave up 49 fucking points to Purdue. Like, Illinois, you call Illinois whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess more so Michigan's not that great. Nebraska's also
Michigan
not that
stinks.
Great.
Nebraska also double stinks. We just beat Nebraska by fucking 50.
Yeah, give me Oregon here. I'm locking.
Yeah.
It's coming easier and easier.
Give
to pick
me the
these
points
week after week.
Yeah, when the teams just show you exactly who they are and they can't change or improve as quickly as they want to, and it's like, yeah, you're just a dumb.
Yeah, it's hard to improve college kids in 6 days. It really is. Northwestern at Iowa, Big Ten, same time as in the afternoon slot. Iowa.
You want to talk about running for his life? Lausch is going to be under fucking fire.
This is the type of game where Lausch does enough.
That's what I'm saying, dude. If he can just get out of
the
there.
Defense is going to keep him in it. The defense is going to keep him in it. The total's at 37.5. I don't think Iowa's scoring 40, but they might. They put up 40 on Washington. Why not? Why not Northwestern?
That's what I'm saying.
You saw what Washington
did. You're
saying
Washington's defense is better than Northwestern.
You could argue. They played.
This might be like a 60-point game for Iowa.
Yeah, I like the over here. I'm taking. I like Iowa here.
The over in an Iowa game.
I like the over, 37.5.
I kind of do, too. That's such a ridiculous number.
What is that? Like, you just need what? You need 28 to
17. 28-14. You're right there.
27-13, you're there. Easy money.
24-14, you're there. That's like... you can get there. This game is not worth watching.
No, this game is worth talking about.
Is it?
Maryland at Minnesota on Fox Sports 1, 2:30.
This game's happening.
This game is happening. Minnesota is 4-point favorites at home. The total of 45.5.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair.
That is fair. Maryland coming off the huge win at home against USC. Minnesota also beat USC early in the year at home. It's two teams better than USC getting after it. All right? That's what this game
That's
is.
That's what's going on.
It's the who's actually good because we beat USC game.
But didn't Wisconsin lose to USC?
Yes, but they were up 21-7 at half. They kind of just blew that.
Yeah, but they blew it. They still lost.
This is a tough game to pick.
I don't think so. I think you just give like when the games get tough, you just give it to the home team.
It's like, do which I think is Maryland exactly has enough why to I'm go? Thinking why Maryland is going to kind of maybe find their footing a little bit. Because we were going into the year, we expected Maryland to be better than Minnesota. But right now, we're looking at them as pretty even teams right now. Is Maryland trending up? Yeah, they are. Is beat USC? Maybe they're figuring something out.
USC is not that good.
True, and they did have to come back. Like, Minnesota kind of beat them handily. We're ahead of most of that game. I know you're taking Minnesota, which is why I have to go against you at some point today. So I'm taking Maryland.
It's
just
the rankings are. It's like the fact that LSU can be a top 8 team in the country right now after losing to that shitbag USC team is so insane. And you look at Indiana, who's got 1,000 times better.
Didn't lose to USC.
Yeah.
I know we don't play them, but still.
LSU would be like the 8th best team in the Big Ten.
That's a little stretch, but I think they'd be in that middle of the pack shit show. Like, they wouldn't be in that top 4.
They lost to USC.
They're definitely not in that top, you know, tier with Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon. LSU is, you know, they're middle of the pack. Big Ten. They are undefeated in SEC somehow. That tells you a lot about that conference. NBC, Saturday night. It's not the Michigan Bowl. It's Penn State at Wisconsin.
Flexed out the Michigan Bowl. Wow.
Flexing out the defending champs
gross.
Playing against one of their arch rivals.
That's
kind of
crazy.
Putting them on Big Ten Network. We'll talk about that after. But
that is crazy.
Penn State at Wisconsin. A lot of Wisconsin fans thought game day should be going to Madison this week. You guys have 2 losses. I don't think that's deserved.
Dude, the Wisconsin fans are delusional.
Naturally.
They lost to, again, you guys lost to USC. Like, let's get, like, focus here. Like, that's not a good football team.
It's not. But they've been trending up 3 straight wins for Wisconsin. Penn State, obviously.
Wisconsin
on the
made Walt Bell's offense look good. That should tell you everything you need to know.
What'd you say?
Fraudulent. Said they made Walt Bell's offense look good.
Well, they did. They gave up 2 touchdowns. They didn't look good. I saw Walt Bell on a graphic for top coordinator
coach
of the
week, of the
top
week.
Coordinators of the week. He was on that
it's
Mac.
The grossest
top
thing
Mac
I've ever
coordinator
seen.
Of the week.
I just refuse to believe that.
Clearly, he's doing something.
Run right. Run right, run left, slant. Fuck you.
It's all about execution, Keezer. It's all about, are you guys able to execute? Penn State 6.5-point favorites on the road, with a total of 47.5. Who are you picking?
Penn State.
You're taking Penn State? I'm taking Wisconsin. Yes. That's going to be my upset pick this week.
That would be awesome. If Penn State loses this game, that would be lovely for Indiana.
Yeah. For those that don't know, there is a world where Oregon, USC. Indiana, and Penn State end the season undefeated. And based on tiebreaker rules, which might involve records of the teams that they played, could benefit Indiana by having one of those teams lose. Let's just say that.
Most definitely. I can't believe they flexed out Michigan State for that
Michigan,
game.
Michigan State.
which is going to be a competitive Michigan State
game. Now, this is a game.
This is going to be competitive. This is going to be a
yeah.
good game.
It's going to be fun.
For the first time in a while.
Oh, yeah. Probably since that, remember that punt?
Block punt.
It wasn't a block punt. The punter just lost it. He bobbled the snap. And the ball is loose. Michigan State.
That's the
Joe Tessitore. Shout out.
Yeah, he's now with WWE. He's crushing.
You're liking this Michigan-Michigan State game?
I don't know. Like, I know I've been giving Aiden Childs a lot of shit the last couple weeks about just, like, throwing the ball up in the air to the opponent, but, like,
9 picks.
I also think he's got that, like, I don't give a shit, like, I don't really care. I'm playing in front of 110,000 screaming people. Like, I'm just going to throw the ball anyway, and I think that's going to benefit him.
Yeah, I think...
Like, I could see Michigan taking them lightly and it being a game for a little bit. I really could. The spread scares me. I don't like the fact that it's so low.
Yeah, the no-fear aspect from Childs is definitely going to benefit them in this game. The dude's figuring things out slowly but surely. He had a great game last week. They beat Iowa. Michigan State's kind of reeling.
Yeah, there's just too much value with Michigan here. Like, 3.5. You're telling me on a neutral site this is a pick 'em? I don't think so.
I mean, at this point, it kind of is. I have Michigan. Michigan State's ranked higher on my power ratings right now in the Big Ten.
I mean, that's fair due to, like, recency bias, but, like, let's look at both football teams. Like, Michigan's a better football
Will Johnson's team. Out for the year.
Nope.
I'm taking Michigan.
I mean, listen, Will, I love Will Johnson. He's a hell of a football player, but, like, Michigan's got – they don't have another Will Johnson, but they got a fucking talented kid who's going to come in and play that position.
Man, it's – you should be excited if you're Sparty because you probably have the most talented kid on the field in Aiden Childs, which is crazy to say.
I don't know. He's going to be on staring at Mason Graham all day.
Yeah, he'll just run around. It's faster than Mason Graham. He'll just run and throw it. And maybe throw a pick. Maybe throw it out of bounds. Maybe he gets completed, but who knows? I think he does enough. I just can't see this. It'll be interesting to see how Michigan State's defense does against Jake Tuttle this week.
I just have a hard time believing you can continue to turn the ball over at the rate they're turning the ball over and win football.
Against Michigan.
Yeah. It's like how many more opportunities do you want to just hand the other team without being able to score? It's like it's two losses in one because you miss out on the opportunity to score and you give your opponent the opportunity to score. So it's like, yeah, I'm not explaining. I don't need to explain to anybody who's listening to this podcast why
the turnover
is a bad thing.
It doesn't matter for Indiana. I think we've lost the turnover battle the last – ahead of the Nebraska game, like the last three times. I think we lost the turnover battle to Northwestern, Maryland.
We did not. I don't think we lost it to Maryland.
Definitely lost it to Maryland.
Worked through 2 picks.
And we fumbled.
Oh, and Black fumbled.
I don't even think we turned them over.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So you got Michigan.
Yeah.
I'll take Sparty. Yes. Just a devil's advocate.
Yeah, I think the strengths of Michigan's team and the weaknesses of Michigan State's team are a perfect match. It's like next year, if this was next year's version of this Michigan State team, I'd probably have a different... I'd probably be like, no, this line actually makes a lot more sense. But, like, what has anybody seen from Michigan State that justifies this line? Like, people are just down on Michigan, which is why this line is the way it is. But, like, what has Michigan State shown that justifies this line being 3.5?
Well, Sharon Moore better win this, or else his seat's going to start getting a little warm.
No, they knew what was good. Dude, they graduated the... most NFL players drafted in a single class from Michigan happened last year. They lost a fuckload and didn't replace a quarterback who can pick up the slack when the rest of the roster is a little lacking.
They just didn't get a guy.
It's crazy they didn't go get a Mac Player of the Year or something like that, you'd think. But
they could have had McLeod.
McLeod. Killing it, Texas State. Killing it.
They could have had Diego Pavia.
That would be awesome. That would have been great. That would have been a good move, too. Proven winner. Good fit.
Think outside the box. They could have got Maivia from...
Maiava.
UNO. Yeah, that guy. Before he ended up going to sit behind Miller Moss and carry his water bottles around.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Quick run through the national slate before Keezer falls asleep.
Yeah, I am fading quickly.
For those who don't know, we record this at like midnight, so it's really, dude, it's a grind.
It's midnight for you, Brad. It's one for me. I've been up since 7. I gotta get to bed. I need these Goom rankings, and then I need to fall asleep.
Oh, there's no Goom rankings. We do that after. We already did the Goom rankings.
Oh, word.
Yeah, Syracuse, word. Pitt. I like Syracuse. Syracuse maybe getting the opposite over Pitt.
Syracuse, Pitt.
On the road.
Yeah, that's Thursday a good, night. That's an awesome football game, actually.
Thursday night.
Fran Brown, he's getting a lot of buzz. I know we've been having this Cignetti conversation about, like, is he leaving, is he not, whatever, which, like, yeah, because we're paranoid Indiana fans, but in reality, I don't think he's going anywhere. Fran Brown's a guy, realistically, who could be a very seriously hot coaching candidate for a lot of these big name jobs. Florida, USC potentially. Who knows what else is going to open up?
He's not big enough for USC.
Like, you don't think so? He's a former Ohio State guy. You go the opposite of Lincoln Riley, right? So instead of super flashy, like everybody knows me, national guy, you go like hardworking, industry darling, Syracuse
guy. Oh, it'd be the right hire for USC. Will they do it? No. No. they like their Lane Kiffins, their Steve Sarkisians, guys that have ties to Pete Carroll, shit like that. Like they. The flashy name. I guess they went Clay Helton that one for that run. And then that, as soon as he showed a little sign of mediocrity, which he really didn't.
Oh, they axed him. They axed him so quick.
Rose Bowl win didn't matter.
Nope.
Idiots. Oh, my days. Boise State at UNLV on Friday night in Allegiant Stadium.
Another awesome football game.
This is a great slate this week.
Ashton, Barry Sanders, Genty.
Yeah, this could be the game where Genty doesn't get 200 yards.
Doubtful.
Doubtful?
Doubtful.
He might have to cut his dreads. He might. Notre Dame at Navy. Undefeated Navy. Hosting.
Oh.
Hosting. No, they're not hosting. It's in MetLife.
What?
Yeah. Notre Dame versus Navy in MetLife.
Oh, that's tragic. There's going to be fucking 75,000 Notre Dame fans.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. God damn it. I couldn't think of a worse location. Is that supposed to be a Navy home game?
Yeah, they're listed as the home team.
I couldn't. I mean, South Bend or Indianapolis, maybe. Could have been a worse location for that Navy home game. What the fuck?
It's going to be a nightmare.
New Jersey?
Yeah, I know. It's over for Navy.
How many Irish people are in New Jersey? What the
would
hell?
Love for Navy to knock them off. Just knock Notre Dame out of the playoff.
That'd be awesome, but that's a full blown dude. I promise you, that's a full blown Notre Dame home game. That's insane.
Something to keep an eye on. I think Notre Dame can win that game, especially if Riley Leonard can't get shit going on offense.
I think Notre Dame's gonna have a huge advantage.
It's true.
But Navy might be the better football
team. They might be the better football team straight up. So that goes a long way, especially on the road in MetLife. Oklahoma Ole Miss. Don't even need to talk about it. That's an Ole Miss dub. Oklahoma's god awful. Holy smokes. That spread's 20.
That's terrible.
Yeah. BYU goes to UCF. Oh, I watched that BYU team. They're very good. I don't see them losing this game.
Yeah, they are good.
And I would love to see them in the playoff. Maybe play against the
Travel Hoopers. Theory is going to get put to the test.
Yeah. Yeah, BYU drops that one. I'm buying into the travel theory. Do I think that team of 25-year-olds is going to lose to UCF on the road? No.
Probably not.
No, they gotta apply for health insurance and shit like that. Like, you know, they gotta.
Yeah, they're grown adults.
They'll take care of business. Missouri goes to Bama. I think Missouri's fraudulent. This is definitely gonna be a Kalen DeBoer bounce back game. The spread's 16.5. Vegas already knows. They're so onto it.
Yeah, that's
two
sharky.
Ranked teams in the spread 16.5.
16.5 is disgusting.
Gross. Texas goes on the road to Vandy. The spread's 18.5. Texas off a loss. It's hard to imagine they don't
going
back.
To Vandy.
Going to Nashville. First Bank Stadium.
What was that about? They're putting up nets in the stadium or something? Is that for like trash or like what the hell is the deal with that?
Ooh. And that's Vanderbilt specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Nets. Maybe they don't want another goalpost in the river.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it. Tennessee, too, I saw they're
doing
it.
Why wouldn't you want another goalpost in the river, though? This is kind of my thing.
It's expensive,
about that.
And you have to get it out.
Yeah. Florida State goes to my.
It's fun in theory, but like when you gotta like think about like getting it back.
Well, they just leave it there. They just leave it there. It's not, you know, they have to get a new one. I'm not fishing that thing out, putting it back in the stadium.
No, but like you gotta get it out of there. You can't just leave it.
Yeah, I can leave it. I saw it was like marked on Google Maps, and you can go visit.
That's
dead ass. Florida State goes to Miami. All I'm going to say in this one is that it's a rivalry game. Never know. You never know. You never know.
Wonky things
happen. Wonky things
happen.
Wonky things happen.
I saw somebody post a 24/7 thing, and it was like DJ Ugalele?
Ugalele.
Said that he was out indefinitely to get his CDL.
It's a CDL.
Commercial driver's license. It's like for trucking.
Oh, he's got his big test. Yeah, I mean, if Florida State, if you watch that Duke game, they would have won that game if they just punted after going up 3-0. It's crazy. If they just punted on first down after going up 3-0, they probably would have won the game. As ridiculous as that is to say. LSU goes to A&M. A&M's favored by 2.5.
That's not surprising.
At home, Kyle Field. Definitely a schedule that's benefiting A&M and thus benefiting Notre Dame because they got that week one dub. Over A&M. I do think LSU is the better team just because I like the quarterback more. But A&M's been proving me wrong all year.
I know A&M's favored, but it's only 2.5. You go neutral site, that's a half, like the pick-em,
so,
essentially a half point favorite for LSU. Mm-hmm. So it's like they are agreeing. They do think they're the better football team. I don't think Texas A&M is that good. But I also just spent 10 minutes
good.
Telling you how much I hated LSU. So it's like, yeah, Texas A&M could definitely win this game.
All I know is that Indiana is better than both these teams, is what I know.
That's a fact.
Kansas goes to Kansas State. Not really worth talking about that. Two pretty irrelevant teams. I think they're both out of the playoff at this point. I mean,
Kansas State lost to BYU, no?
Yeah, they did lose to BYU. So they kind of got to win out.
They're not dead. They're within striking distance. They're at 16. You just got to get to 12. Not that that's, like, easy to do. But if you're at 16, you only got to go up 4. Versus, like, if you were at, like, 40, you're like, eh, I'm probably out of it.
Yeah, I don't think either of these teams are very good, though. I don't think the Big 12 is very good.
Kansas is bad. Kansas is bad, confirmed.
Yeah, that Illinois win over Kansas State might be good. Is not looking that great these days. It looked good at first.
No, it looks bad.
Yeah. It's SMU at Duke wrapping us out. ACC after dark. Duke's 6-1.
Yeah, I don't understand this line at all. SMU 11.5.
SMU's going to put up a lot of points. Can Duke also put up a lot of points? I'm not entirely sure. They haven't really had to do that all year. So I would say stay away from this game at all costs, gambling wise.
Sage advice.
Stay away. Stay away. I don't have a read on this one at all. Has SMU even ever played Duke? Two private schools going at it in the ACC? Oh, my God.
Did Duke even have football before SMU got axed for the death penalty?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even sure. I'm not. I think they did, but they definitely did, but
they probably had a football program.
They probably had a football program by all technicalities.
You can follow Sigs Inside, Indiana Football Podcast, on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley_Loomis8. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Yeah, check out KeysportsNetwork.com. Shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrull, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. Intro song 1621, outro song Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony. It's Washington week. The Rock is packed. Game day. Fucking enjoy this. Enjoy the shit out of this.
I'm enjoying it. Our podcast has been getting longer for good reason.
Go.